Welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
All right. Hey, good morning. Good to see you guys. Can we give a hand, by the way, to the CAP team, those that are in here this morning? It's great to hear those stories. That's awesome. Well, if you have a Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 11 was where we're going to start out this morning. And again, pull those message notes out. I have a friend who did not... He had this thing where he did not like watching sports. He did not like watching sports, and so much so that, again, and it wasn't that he didn't like sports, he just didn't like watching the games. Like, he played them all through the years and still likes to play, you know, these days, but he didn't like watching games because he didn't like to watch a game for three and a half hours not knowing who was going to win. He said, the only way I would want to watch is if I knew that my team was going to win. Otherwise, I don't want to waste 3.5 hours to watch my team lose. And furthermore, he had that same mentality in other areas. He didn't like to watch movies unless he knew what the ending of the movie would be. Because he said, I don't want to waste two and a half hours of my life if I don't know that I'm going to like the ending. So instead, he would find out the ending before he would watch the movie. So... this is how he lived, and so I was thinking about it even this last week. This last week alone, he would have missed out on getting to enjoy the Nationals win, beating the Dodgers. I mean, they had this incredible couple of games, yeah, where they came back and they won and proved everybody wrong. He would have missed a great Walkersville High School game. In fact, one of our own, Mark Merrick, scored the winning touchdown in overtime the other night at their homecoming game. And he would have missed such a joyous thing like that. He would have missed the Avengers movies. I mean, all 20 hours of them, and that's just one movie. But he had this issue with the fear of the unknown. That when it came to things that he didn't know about, he wanted to avoid any possibility that those things could be a part of his life. And so he'd avoid them. And today I want us to talk about this subject of the fear of the unknown. Last week we started a series called Fear Not. And we began talking about how fear is the foe of your future. Then when it comes to your future, when it comes to the purpose and the plan of God for your life, there is nothing that threatens you and your ability to get there more than the element of fear in your life and mine. And we talked last week about how if you're going to overcome that fear, it's going to come by living with extraordinary faith. That it's going to come through this ability to remember that God is with you, and that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and it's going to come through becoming a person who's concerned about the things that God's concerned about. And so as you live that way, and really as you make some of these decisions ultimately to live as a person of promise, it builds this faith in your life and this confidence that God is going to do something great. That no matter what the storm looks like, no matter what the odds look like, that you can have this confidence that allows you to overcome fear. And yet, I think when we talk about fear, maybe especially some of us guys who like to pretend we're not afraid of anything, we'll kind of just brush it aside, right? And just try to ignore the subject of fear, try to pretend like it doesn't exist. But I would tell you today that you can't afford to do that because our future depends on it. One of the great innovators of the last century, one of the great leaders of the last century, Henry Ford, said this about fear. He said, "If there is one thing I would banish from the earth. It would be fear. You see, again, fear is a robber. Fear is a thief. It wants to rob you and I from God's best in our relationships, in our careers, in every dimension of our lives. Fear threatens to steal from us what God has in store. So you and I, we can annihilate fear, but it comes through this ability to stand upon the Word of God. It comes from this ability to stand upon the promises of God and rely on the power of His Holy Spirit that allows us to overcome fear. And I think what happens so often is that when we look at fear in our own lives, we often will try to resort to these man-made ways of overcoming fear. I talked about it a little bit last week, but I remember a season in my life when I was trying to prove that I wasn't afraid of anything. I started going skydiving, and I would jump out of airplanes, and it was great until I got married, and I had a baby on the way, and I had actually purchased my next ticket to go up in the airplane and go skydiving until my wife looked at me and said, "If you go skydiving, I'll kill you." So I became more afraid of my wife than jumping out of an airplane, but I, you know, we will often in our human nature will attempt to overcome fear, maybe through events, right? Through taking risks or through trying to avoid certain situations. I mean, every personality is a little bit different. But I would suggest today that if we're going to eliminate and annihilate fear in our lives, there's this process by which we've got to get into our hearts, we've got to get into our soul, we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to shine the light of God upon us and the truth of His Word so that we can see things through His perspective and recognize some of the things in our hearts and in our lives that are causing that fear so that we can, again, overcome it. And as I was thinking about this fear of the unknown that we're talking about today, I got this picture of a monster in the closet. And how many have seen the movie Monsters, Inc.? Raise your hand if you've seen that movie, Monsters, Inc. It's an old Disney movie that's built upon this premise of these, you know, kids who have monsters in their closets, and these monsters are trying to get screams out of the kids, and they capture them in these canisters. And so the whole monster world is fueled by these screams. But as the course of the movie goes on, they find that the even greater power than screaming is laughter. And so rather than scaring the kids, all of a sudden now this whole new relationship with the monsters forms between the kids and these monsters, where now they hug them and they love them and they laugh, and the monsters have the kids have this different relationship with the monsters. And what I would want to suggest this morning is that when you think about the unknown in your life, recognize that it's like a monster in your closet. And the process of overcoming the fear of the unknown is beginning to form a different relationship with the unknown in your life. And really beginning to pay attention to what are you feeding that fear. Because here's what I would suggest this morning. When it comes to the fear of the unknown, recognize this. And if you're taking notes, you want to jot this down. That doubting the goodness of God is what feeds the fear of the unknown. So when you think about the unknown monster in your closet, when you think about your future, whether it's future relationships, maybe for some in this room, you are hoping and dreaming about finding the one, and yet there's this fear that maybe you never will. Or maybe you're afraid of failing in a relationship. Or maybe for some, you think about a dream that you have to start a business, and yet there's this fear of what if I fail, or what if it doesn't work? Maybe for some, it's that I got fired in the past, and I have failure behind me, and what if I step out and I fail again? And so all these things, again, they form this monster in the closet, and it's all these unknowns regarding our future, and they lurk there like a monster. And the question is, what are you feeding that fear of the unknown? What are you feeding that thing? And what I would suggest this morning is that when we doubt the goodness of God, when we stop believing that God is good and that his love endures forever. That we become, like we just sang about a moment ago, we become a slave to that fear. It has this power over us. And that monster grows more and more. And again, that the power it has over us grows more and more and more. And so if we're going to become people who overcome that fear, people of purpose who start taking steps into all that God has for us, we've got to start to feed that monster something different. Again, we've got to start to develop this confidence in our hearts in the goodness of God. I call it living like God is on your side. Living with this confidence that God is for me and not against me. And so today, as we look at Genesis 11, I want us to learn some lessons as we look at some people in these chapters. And as we start in Genesis 11, this is a section in the Bible known as the Tower of Babel. And around this time in history, everyone in the world spoke the same language. And there had been this migration eastward, and this huge community of people had settled in this area called Shinar, which is known as Babylonia as well. And during this time, they figured out how to make bricks. And so these people had now settled in this new land. They were making bricks. And as they began to look at the world around them, they recognized there was still so much that was unknown to them. And as they look at the unknown prospect of the world that was out there, they had a certain response that we read about in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, where they said this. It says, "Then they said, 'Come, let us,'" and if you're taking notes, you can write that those words, "let us," in there. "Let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." So here's what we see. As these people that we read about in this section of Genesis, as they think about the unknown, as they think about the monster in their closet, this unknown world around them, they decide to respond by pursuing three things that we read about in these verses here. They pursue three things as they are dealing with the fear of the unknown in their lives. There's three things they pursue, and the first is supremacy. They say, "Let us build a tower. Let us do something that's never been done before. Let's build a tower with these amazing things that we've invented called bricks. Let's build a tower." Then they pursue the second thing is self-idolatry. They say, "Let us make a name for ourselves." In other words, let's do something to make our identity great. Let's build up our own identity here. But then the third thing they pursue is security. They say, "Let us not be scattered anymore." In other words, let's make sure we are in total control of our lives. Let's stay completely secure. So as you can see, they have these three things where they're saying, "Let us," right? "Let us build up our own supremacy. Let us build up our own self, our own selves. Our, you know, let's make idols out of ourselves. And let's build up our own security. Let us, let us, let us." In their own strength, in their own energy, they're attempting to pursue these things. And God comes along and he says, "Nah." And he changes the languages. They go from one language that they can all speak and they can all communicate together. And here they are, they're building this tower up to the heavens. And God says, "No." And he confuses their languages. And at that point, they go from one big community of people to scattering from that place. And again, as they looked at this unknown world around them, they responded in these three things, and God said, "No, that's not okay with me. Because in your pursuit of resolving your fear of the unknown, you're not relying on me. You're not seeking me. You're doing these things in your own strength, and it's keeping me out of the picture of your lives. And so that's Genesis chapter 11. Now if you have your Bibles, turn over to Genesis chapter 12. Because now we get to Genesis chapter 12, and now God approaches a guy named Abram. And here's what God now says to Abram in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12. The Lord says to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. So God approaches Abram now in Genesis chapter 12, and he says to him, listen, if you follow me, guess what? I'll give you supremacy. If you'll put me first in your life, I'll establish your identity. If you'll follow me, I will give you security. All the things that the people who built this Tower of Babel, all the things they were pursuing, God says, I'll give them to you if you'll let me lead the way in your life. See, what you see when it comes to dealing with the fear of the unknown in our lives, you have this contrast that I believe between Genesis chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 12 is the contrast for every single one of us. You're either going to be a Genesis 11 person or a Genesis 12 person. You're going to be a person who says, let us, or you're going to be a person who says, let God. When it comes to resolving the unknown in your life, which one will you be? Will you be a let us kind of person or a let God kind of person? And so as we talk this morning about how to defeat the fear of the unknown in our lives, we learn some incredible lessons here, especially as we look at the life of Abraham. And so if you're taking notes, the first step in the process of defeating the fear of the unknown in your life and mine has to do with letting God in. Will you let God in? Again, I think it's so easy for us to think about the life and the unknown in the same ways that the people that in the Babel days did, that I want something meaningful, and so I'm going to pursue a better job, or I'm going to pursue this, more money or more success, or my identity. I'm going to try to get more security in relationships. And we can pursue these things in this mentality that says, let us, let us, let us. But God invites us into a relationship with him that says, will you let me in to lead the way in your life? And it's not until we deal with the fear of the unknown that we'll be able to rise above that trap, that if we live it out, we'll find ourselves in a similar place to the people in the Tower of Babel story, confused, scattered, wandering, far from God. But what I love is, as God pursues Abraham here, a little background on this. 25 years previous to Genesis 12, God had first come to Abraham when he was living in Ur, and he's about 50 years old. And Abraham had actually done pretty well for himself. He was a rich man. He was living in Ur, which was one of the most well-to-do places on the planet at that time. In fact, Ur, it was a coastal town at the mouth of the Euphrates River, and it was this booming town where there's a lot of commerce and there was a lot of innovation. In fact, little fun side note, Ur was the place where they invented bathtubs. So there you go, fun fact for a Trivial Pursuit. And so Abraham is living in this place. He's got a lot going on for him. He's a well-respected guy. He has a great setup. In fact, he was even religious. But by the way, he wasn't religious in the sense that he worshiped God. He was, because of the land he was in at the time, it was an idolatrous area. So when God came and met Abraham, at the time, Abraham was worshiping the moon god at the time. And I think it's important for us to see this, that when God comes to him and encounters him in Genesis 12, that he was far from God at the time. It wasn't until he came to him in these moments that he actually discovered one true God, the creator of all things. Now, I think this is important for us to recognize for a moment. Wherever you are in your journey, maybe you even have people in your life that this would be indicative of, but we can talk a lot about seeking God. U2 sings a song, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. You know, we can have this, I'm seeking, and I'm seeking through intellectualism and through all these experiences. And here's the reality, no matter how much you seek, realize that as much as you might be seeking God, God's seeking you. That God is seeking you, and the real question is, are you open to letting him in? Are you open to letting him in? Will you let him break through to meet you where you are? Will you let him break through whatever your past experiences are, even your limitations? And see, God wants to meet you where you are, just like he did for Abraham. And the thing about Abraham had a pretty good inheritance at that time. Again, he was already wealthy. He already had a lot going on for him. But God comes and he says, I want to offer you more than just an earthly inheritance. I want to offer you a heavenly inheritance. I want to offer you something that's greater than your wildest imagination. Because, again, here's the thing. Abraham, although he's rich and he has a lot of success in his background, he's poor spiritually. And God reaches down and he makes himself known to him and he says, here's the thing. If you're going to get what I have for you, you've got to follow me. You've got to leave your homeland. And by the way, part of God calling him out of his homeland wasn't merely a game that God was playing. It was God saying, you've been surrounded by all this idolatry, and if you're going to get to know who I am, you've got to be removed from the environment that you've been in. You've got to get set apart so you can have a relationship with me. Otherwise, you're going to get pulled into the things you've been pulled into throughout your life. And so, if we're going to defeat the fear of the unknown, the first thing we need to do is let God in. Let him into your life. For some this morning, today may be the day that you let God in, that you say yes to him, that you choose to follow him, not just know about him, not just have some religion going on here and there, but actually say, God, like, I'm all in with you. Here's the second thing, though. If you're going to overcome the fear of the unknown in your life, the second thing that needs to happen is you've got to settle the contentment question. You've got to settle the contentment question. And this is important not merely for defeating fear, but also for embracing our identity. Is God enough? What do you need to be content? And when God came to Abram at the time that he did, in this moment of the call, we read about it in Genesis 12, and this is one of the more pivotal moments in history when God shows up. And he speaks to Abraham here as we just read a moment ago. And this, again, this is where it all begins, where not only does something begin for Abraham's life, but Abraham is the beginning of God bringing the Messiah into humanity. It's through Abraham's line that Jesus will eventually come and that God will fulfill his promise to redeem and restore broken, sinful humanity. And so, everything is happening right here. And when God approached him and he says to him, leave where you are, go. And God didn't give him a big sales pitch. He just called him out. He called him out. And again, this is what God does for each and every one of us. He calls us out of our comfort zone. He calls us out in a way that would say, God, I trust you. And in that process, we're required to surrender some things to him. And I remember for me, when in my younger years, when I was first saying yes to the call of God, I remember surrendering all I had to him, which was a Volkswagen Bug and a cassette boombox and a couple hundred dollars in the bank. But Jesus, I'm all yours. But then there came these moments along the way as I've lived my life where I've had to decide at times, God, what is my contentment in? There have been moments where even with my children, I've had to say, God, I trust them to you. Lord, they belong to you. Moments where I'm afraid and I want to do everything in my power to protect them, and I've had to say, God, they belong to you. And moments when I feel the fear coming in, or moments in my ministry life, even in, as many of you know my story 3 years ago, giving up comfort and position and finances and so many things because God said, go. And when we are faced with those decisions, the real question that always it comes down to is, what am I hungry for? Am I hungry for God? Or am I hungry for things of this world? Because oftentimes what I found is the thing that threatens to keep me from what God has is this hunger I have for my own security, hunger I have for my own recognition. And yet, when I can come to a place that says, God, you are all that I need, you are all that I want, that hunger and that contentment is what allows me to encounter him. Contentment comes from receiving the heavenly inheritance, just like Abraham did. And Jesus, when he teaches us to pray, when the disciples came and they said, hey, teach us how to pray, Jesus said what? He said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what Jesus was teaching when he taught us to pray in that way was to have a heart and a mind that would say, God, I want to be in line with what heaven has for me. I want to be aligned with what heaven has for my family. Not just what can I get on this earth for my family, right? So it's not that I'm, because we can get so consumed with experience, you know, boats and vacations and bigger houses and bigger paychecks and all those things. And yet when we pray, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's saying, I want what heaven has more than anything in this world. And so God comes to Abraham here and he calls him out. And Abraham has to lay down fear with a confidence in that. And he has to listen to the promise of God in verse 3. In fact, if we can put verse 3 up there, I want us to read this out loud together. Can we do that? Ready? Go. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So there's this promise that God gives Abraham, and it's a promise of blessing, and it's a promise that I will be with you, I will be for you, and by the way, if you're going, hey, there's some people I wouldn't mind if God curses. By the way, I believe what this has to do with is you look at even that, is recognize that what the enemy would have against you, the scheme of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy in your life has been defeated. And the curse of sin and brokenness has been defeated through Jesus and through the work of the cross. But ultimately, that when you recognize that God is for you and that you can live like he is on your side, this confidence in the promise begins to rise up. And then in verse 4, it says, so Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. So now he's 75 years old. And again, he was 50 when God first came to him when he was in Ur. And now he's 75. God had told him to leave his country, leave his people, leave his family. He left. He took his family with him, took his dad. His dad's name is Terah, which literally means delayed. That name means delayed. And so they went from Ur to Haran, and they didn't get all the way to Canaan. They're stuck. They're delayed. It would be like if God called us as a church, said, New Life, I want you to go to Haiti. And so we start heading down to Haiti, and we get on the plane, we fly down there, and then we stop off in Orlando, and we go, you know, let's just go to Disney World instead. And we just hang out in Disney World for the next 25 years rather than going to Haiti. It'd be kind of like that. We're almost there, and then we just kind of stop. And that's what happened here. They just stop. They hang out in this border town. Haran is a border town. And so it wasn't until Terah died 25 years later that they finally left. And in Acts 7, it talks about how once he died, they finally went to Canaan. They finally went to the land of promise. So what that means is that Abraham didn't go in total obedience at first. It was partial obedience. And it teaches this important third lesson of being a person who rises above the fear of the unknown, is if you're going to defeat fear and if you're going to be able to go to the place of promise in your life, if you're going to be able to get and see the future that God has for you and experience all of that, the third thing that has to happen is you've got to settle first things first. See, it's one paradise that God then says, okay, now you can go to Canaan, and they do. And as I think about this, though, and I want us to think about, you know, I have a lot of people that come to me and go, why am I not getting to, you know, I don't know what God is doing, or I don't know how he's directing me, or I can't seem to get to this place of promise. And I love how Isaiah says this in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. He says, therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And what I've learned through the years is that often the Lord will wait for us to be obedient to what he's already given us to do. That God, he's not like trying to torture us, but oftentimes we're wanting to see something come about, and he's saying, why haven't you done the things I've asked you to do in the first place? I want you to be obedient so that I can bless you in the ways that I desire, so I can take you to the place of promise. And so I think for us, even as in our spiritual journey with God, what are the things that God's called us to do? What are the first things first? And can I tell us, sometimes it's just even, are you putting God first in your daily life? Are you opening your heart to his word on a regular basis? Are you reading the Bible? Are you being generous towards others? Are you doing the things that he's asked you to do and serving your wife or serving your family in a certain way? Are you living selflessly? It would be different for each of us in certain seasons of our life. But the question is, what has God called you to do? And are you living in obedience to those things? Again, I'm not talking about the big things like move to Africa. I'm just talking about, like, are you doing the simple things in obedience? Are you speaking words of kindness and life to your coworkers? Are you praying for that person that hurt you? Are you praying that God would bless them and do a new work in their life? Are you doing things in obedience to God's word? And here's the thing I want us to recognize. Again, Abraham for 25 years couldn't get to where God wanted him to. God was waiting for Abraham to be obedient. But here's the thing. God wasn't mad at him. If you think about an area of disobedience in your life, maybe an area that you go, yeah, I haven't really been living for God in this area of my life. I want you to know God's not mad at you. God loves you, and he's waiting for you, though, to be obedient so he can take you where he wants you to go, so he can take you to greater places and places of blessing. And, you know, when I think about my kids in the years that they're walking, and now with our fourth on the way, I'm going to get to experience when learning how to walk again. But when my little kids started walking, and they kind of stumble and they fall over, I didn't look at them and go, are you kidding me? I'm taking you over the adoption agency. You can't even walk. I mean, good grief. No. I looked at them and I said, I was glad that they took a step. I'm so glad you took a step. And that's how God looks at us as well. He doesn't look at us again going, man, can't you get your act together? He's just glad we're taking a step. And that's what I want to encourage you to do today, is to recognize that as God looks at you, he looks at you with love in his heart. And as you think about the unknown, maybe some things in your life that have held you back from taking those steps, recognize that if you'll step up today and recognize, God, because I know you love me, I'm going to take the first step of obedience. I'm going to take the first step of obedience. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk in faith. You see, fear is defeated when you and I start to live like God is on our side. When we start to live with this confidence that God is for you and not against you. And see, in Abraham's life, what began to link him up to the promise of God was that he began to take steps of obedience aware that God was going to bless him, that God was for him and not against him. And see, I believe that when we look at our world today, and even, you know, you see people that are fighting with each other, you see it with politicians, I see it even around the community. I see neighbors that are mad at one another, and coworkers, and people that are, even families that are torn apart. And so often what's tearing them apart is fear. That because they're not confident that God is for them and with them, they feel like they've got to fight for themselves. They feel like they've got to tear others down. They feel like they've got to be dishonest and they've got to maneuver. And yet when you can live with this confidence that God is for you, that he loves you, that fear no longer has power over you. And again, when you live with this confidence that God is for you, now you're free to love. Now you're not holding on to grudges. I love the story of, there's a story of some missionaries. Among them was a guy named Jim Elliot, who he and some of his friends went to minister on the mission field and were killed by these natives of that area as they had gone to preach the gospel to them and show them the love of God. And what I love is the rest of the story that his wife Elizabeth and some of the other wives of these missionary men that had gone down and gotten killed, their wives came back and even their kids came back with them later, and they got to minister and lead these same people who killed their husbands. They got to lead them to Jesus. They got to show them the love of God. They didn't let the fear of what was unknown and even things that were known, even the things that they did know were a threat about them, they didn't let those things hold them back. Instead, they went and they engaged in love. They didn't let that fear dominate them. And therefore, it transformed an entire village, an entire region, as thousands upon thousands came to Christ. Because a few women and their kids said, "We're not going to let fear overtake. We want to see Jesus made famous." So friends, when we look at our community, when we look at our nation, when we look at our world is longing for people like you and me to live free from fear, to not cower when we look at the fear of the unknown, but instead to be bold and courageous and to say, God is with me, God is for me, and guess what? God is for you as well. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He invites you into a new beginning. And so this morning, I want you to set your Bibles aside, and I want to just pray over us here as we close this time. Lord, I thank you for each one that would be here today, that we can live with this confidence, God, that you are for us. That we don't have to live in wondering whether you are good, that we don't have to keep feeding this monster in the closet, the fear of the unknown, but instead, Lord, we can live with this confidence, Lord, that you have a glorious future for us. That you want to use us to do great things. That you want to use us to make a difference in this world. That you want to bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. And yet, Lord, we would acknowledge this morning that there are things that have held us back from that. I know in my own life, there is the fear of failure that's held me back. There is the fear of what if I don't have enough money, or what if I don't have the help, or whatever it would be. And yet, Lord, you're so faithful. You've been so faithful. And I pray this morning that for each one of us in this place, that we would be able to acknowledge the areas of fear in our lives and trust you with them and put our confidence in you and fix our eyes on you in such a way that we could restore our confidence in the fact that you are good. This morning, I just want to give a simple invitation that maybe you're here this morning and you'd recognize that you've not let God into your life. As we talked about earlier, that Maybe you've been around religion a little bit. Maybe you've even gone to church in the past, but today you'd recognize, I haven't let God in. I haven't let him lead the way because there have been some things that I'm afraid of. And yet today you'd recognize, God, I don't want to live without you any longer. I need you. I need your love, and I need you leading the way in my life. And so this morning, if that would be you, if you would be one that would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to let God in. I want to follow him from this day forward. Would you just lift up your hand right now? I want to pray with you. Awesome. Awesome. Anyone else? Yeah, praise God. Yeah, amen. Amen. It's the best decision you make. Lord, I thank you for each one of these, Lord. They have lifted their hands to heaven. Thank you that you look at each one and you see a precious son, a precious daughter. One that you have incredible plans and dreams for. And I pray right now, God, that you would meet them in this place. Lord, that you would make your love known to them. In fact, I'm just going to pray a simple prayer, and I'm going to ask everyone just out loud, would you just repeat this prayer with me and with each of these that are making that decision today? Just repeat this simple prayer after me. Jesus, I welcome you in to my life. Open my eyes so that I can see you. So that I can see this world through your eyes and no longer the eyes of fear. Give me courage to walk in your ways from this day forward. I trust you and I trust your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we just give God praise this morning? Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.